what would we do? Surely without Him, what would we do? I mean, there's no hope without our Lord and Savior. Oh, okay. And this is on the History Channel? Okay. The Bible is being is beginning March 3rd, and it's going to go, it's a mini-series of how many, 5 weeks. Okay. The only thing, when you watch stuff like this, you got to be careful. Because they don't say always the truth. Just be careful. Watch it, you know, if you can. I mean, it's a show. It's a, what is it called? The Bible? Okay. The Bible. All righty. Good. Amen. Well, good morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Good. Amen. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? To feel the presence of God and knowing that God is in control. No matter what we see on the news, no matter what we see in our families, no matter what we see in our churches, no matter what we see in the body of Christ, God is still in control, no matter what. And we got to keep our faith and our trust in Him always, always. Well, it certainly is good to see everyone here today. We surely do welcome everyone. Let's see. I want you to turn with the tithe and offerings to, let's see, hold on, let me get it. Turn to Psalms 35:27. Psalms 35:27. It says this. It says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually, let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants." Go back to the first part of that verse. It says, let them shout, talking about the church, talking about us, the body of Christ. Let them shout for joy and be glad. We have to do something. There's an action. That favor my righteous cause. You might say, well, what do you mean by your righteous cause? Well, you know, the righteous cause here, your tithe and offerings, is what helps us to keep things going financially upon this church. And thank you for giving to this righteous cause here. Thank you for the continual work. And last week we picked up $1,028.61. And so we want to thank you for your faithfulness to the church here. Let them say continually, let the, go to the next verse, Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. God takes pleasure in prospering you. He just takes pleasure in it. He loves to do it. That's just like as a father and a mother love to give to their children. You just love to do those things. You know, you see a need or whatever, you like to meet it if you can. God says He takes pleasure in the prosperity of His people. We are His people. And so you can claim that scripture and say, Father, thank you for prospering me. Not only financially, but with the peace of God, the anointing of God, the revelation of His, of the Word of God in our lives, peace and prosperity within your home, the God just moving, saving people in your family. Because all it says is, ask and we shall receive. Seek and we shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto us. The power of His Spirit. So look, God is excited when His people are blessed. Because He uses that to further the gospel that way. So amen. So let's get in His Word. And thank you for your tithe and offerings to the church. You might say, well, Pastor, you don't send a basket or something. No, we have it back there. There's the box. It's between you and the Lord. I just try to teach you what I know is right in the Word to give so that God can bless us back and so we can be a blessing to this community. Amen. Let's take our Bibles. Lift up your Bibles. Say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want you to turn to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. And Ron, what is the status of the church building?
About 3 years.
3 years, Lord, have mercy. We have to add on to this. I don't know, go up, whatever. It's going well. Mm-hmm. Okay. All righty. Good. All righty. Praise God. Okay. All righty. If you'd like to go across the street and look at what's been done so far, you're more than welcome. Okay? So, amen. Before we read in John chapter 16, I heard a testimony of a pastor. And he was talking about, you know, how God had moved in his life and God had changed things in his heart and life. But before all of this happened, he was a pastor. And he was preaching the Word of God on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights, and doing all that a pastor should do, you know. But he realized something, that there were things in his heart and life that he couldn't change. And he kept battling these things and trying to change them, but he couldn't change it. He got to the point where he couldn't pastor anymore, because he felt in his heart, how could he lead people and tell them about the freedom of God and what God can do when he was in bondage to a lot of things? You know, and his heart was basically right, if you want to say that, because he kept going to God and asking forgiveness. But he couldn't take it anymore. And one day he got up and he said, that's it. You might say, Pastor, what did he do? He quit ministry. He quit his church. He quit God, everything. I mean, just quit it all. And he went into a life that was not pleasing for sure for God. He became a gambler. He would gamble every night. He did unthinkable things that he knew was not right, because he struggled with things in his heart and life that he couldn't overcome. And one day, his son calls him and says, Dad, I heard. And he said, what are you talking about? He said, I heard there's freedom in Christ. And his dad said, well, I've tried that before. He said, oh, no, there's something different. There's something different. It's called Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross. And it says that his son started to share with his father the freedom and the liberty that he could have. That he didn't have to be stuck in evil doings or evil things, or if you want to put it in sin ways. That God has paid the price for him and brought freedom to his life. And his son started teaching him and preaching to him and telling him about the freedom that God gives through the cross of Calvary. And all of a sudden, his father started to believe. All of a sudden, his father started to receive the word that was being taught to him. And all of a sudden, the things that were holding him down broke off. Broke off, and there was freedom in his life. And God didn't stop there. God restored him back to his church. Not only back to God personally, but also gave the church back to him. And he stood back in that pulpit, a free man, telling the people how God could set them free. That's the power of God. 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 You know, we have Many Christians, many people that have given their hearts to the Lord, that has received God as their Lord and Savior, they felt the power of God, they've been filled with the Holy Spirit, God is moving in their lives, but there's certain one or two areas in their lives that they struggle with. And honestly, let's all step in, because that's all of us. Okay, I don't want anybody to think anybody's a little holier than anybody else, because it's the blood that gets us clean. But you see, we don't have to struggle because the price has been paid already on the cross. It's been paid for. It's been won. All we got to do is put our faith in Him and let Him work in those areas that He needs to work in. Look, I want you, John 16, verse 33. It says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Now, God was speaking to His disciples. He's saying, look guys, you might think you won't have another problem. That's not true. You might think you're never going to have another temptation. Not true. You might think that, well, everything's going to be perfect. I mean perfect. Not true. Because God says we are going to have tribulations, problems, things are going to come about. But the difference is now, we are God's children because He lives in us. We've received Him. We believe what He said. And now when we go through things, our God is with us. And because He's with us, we always win. That's the difference. Before we had Christ, things would come our way. We'd try to solve it. We'd try to do things. We tried to do whatever we could. Sometimes we won and sometimes we lost. But God says we're going to have tribulations. We're going to have problems. Things are going to come our way. Even when you're not looking for it. We just don't know. But we know a God that can solve everything, guys. We trust in a God that can make the wrong right. Just like the pastor. We serve a God that can take scrambled eggs and put them back to his original place. That's the kind of God we serve. And to us it's impossible, but to God it is possible. Tribulations, problems, things will come our way. But it says this in the latter part of the verse, "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." So you know what the Bible says? We're going to go through things. But He said, be happy. Be of good cheer. I, talking about God, has overcome the world. So you know what that means? We can be of good cheer as we trust in our God to make things right. To solve things. To make things go in the right direction. Because our God cares about you and I and will solve it. So things will come. You hear sometimes Christians say as they are witnessing to somebody, man, look, everything's going to go great. You're not going to have enough. And you kind of, well, that's not truth. Not truth. But you see, when we go through things, God is the one that can calm the seas. He can make the boat stop rocking. He can calm the seas. And we can cross to the other side with our Lord. That's the kind of God you and I serve. Matthew chapter 11. We'll come back to this in a few minutes. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Thank you for worship this morning. Very good, guys. I tell you, the Holy Spirit is so good to us. Matthew chapter 11, starting with verse 28. It says, "Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Now, let's stop right there. We should go to God all the time. I mean, that's what we should do. But let's everybody raise their hand and their feet. We know we don't all the time. What do? We run to other people, and there's nothing wrong with getting people to help you to pray. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the first place, when something happens, guys, we need to run to Him. Run to Him. You might say, "Well, what do you mean? I got to..." No. That means whatever. Kneel before Him, whatever. Say, "Lord, it's yours." But come to Him. It says this, "Come unto me." The Lord is saying, come. He's inviting us. He's telling us, come. Wanting us to. Don't run to everybody else. Run to Him first. Because you know what? When we run to Him first, He gets on board and He solves the problem. And gets things done. "Come unto me, and all you are that all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Thank you, Lord. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls." He's saying, "Come to me, take my yoke upon you." It's amazing how when we go to God and we do what He says to do, that things get easy. Even though it's the same thing. Nothing has changed on the outside. But it seems like we change. And when we look in that direction, we can carry those things. Because He's with us. Because He says, "I am meek and lowly in heart." And I have to say this because I never saw this before till I read it. It says, this is the only thing that our Lord personally said of Himself. That's good, that He is meek and lowly about Himself. Other people say things. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? The things of God, the things that He calls you to do, His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Well, why do people get so burnt out on things? It says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Well, why do pastors get burnt out? His yoke is easy and His burden is light. You know why both get burnt out? Because they both are doing things that they shouldn't do. Doing things that God didn't require of them. Doing things that maybe the people require, but God doesn't. And so we got to realize that we need to take the yoke of God. What does He want for us? What does He desire of us? And accomplish those things. And carry those loads. Because you see, when we do what God wants, He stands on the side of us and He carries those things with us to accomplish it. Because you see, there's nothing I can do to further the gospel except preach under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And it's still God. See, everything we do, by God's standard, He anoints and it goes forth with power. And so anything we do without Him, He does not anoint and it does not go out with power. And so we got to make sure that the things that we do, the things that God calls us to do, that we take His yoke, which is light, because His burden is light. And we do what He requires us to do. It says this, that in Scripture, that we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ our Lord. Faith in Him and Him alone and what He did at the cross will bring freedom to every part of our lives. Every single problem faced by humanity was addressed and solved by Jesus at the cross. Can you imagine? Every single problem was addressed at the cross. Everyone. 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 That's why we need to run to Him. Honestly, run to Him first before you even run to your pastor. Run to Him first before you run to your spouse. Run to Him first before you run to your friends. Run to Him first before you run to anyone. Because He is the one that has all wisdom and all knowledge and can share one word with you that will change your heart, change your life, and change the direction that you're going in, that we are going in. He can do it. He can do it. In Colossians chapter 2, let's turn there. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Look at verse 14. It says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us. Talking about the law that God gave to Moses. When Jesus died on the cross, He took it all away. Took all that away. It was fulfilled, so it didn't have to be followed anymore. Which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He, talking about Christ, made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. God has made us victorious in every part of our lives. And you might say, well, Pastor, there's things in my life. I know that. Pastor, you don't know about this. Pastor, you don't know about that. You don't know about what's going on. How hard it is to get over this thing. This is the deal. You don't have to get over it. You don't have to overcome it. You don't have to try to build your way up to perform. All the Bible says, and I know I've said this often about all kinds of things, it's so simple. So simple. Man makes it complicated. So simple. All God says we have to do is put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And He takes care of all those things. That anger problem, or whatever other problem it is, whatever situation it is, that we know is displeasing to God, and God is saying He wants us to overcome it, and He wants us to get rid of that stuff. He's saying to us as a church, that when Jesus died on the cross, He paid for it all. Everything. It was paid for. Not just a few things. Not just the little things. But all things were paid for. So when Jesus died on the cross, He knew of us in 2013. Can you believe? And all the things that we would that would bother us. All the things that we would go through. And can you imagine as He's hanging on that tree? Or that cross, or say tree, whatever, cross. And they're making fun of Him. Because you see, He's hanging on the cross with no clothes. Now, I know we see all pictures that have clothes on or whatever, but He didn't. Can you imagine as He's hanging on that cross, And the Father has commissioned him to die. He stays on that cross because he thinks of Joseph. In 2013. And he thinks of you because he knows the future that you would be born. He knew where you would be. And he thinks of you. He thinks of you. And he stays on that cross knowing as he closes his eyes finally and he gives up the ghost. He didn't commit suicide, as some preach. They didn't take his life from him. It says that he laid his life as a ransom for us. And he stays with his hands, his arms stretched out, thinking of us. And all the problems that we would go through, all the situations that would come up in our lives, because we are human beings. We have the sin nature in our bodies. But he knew his blood would be able to cover all the things in our hearts and lives and bring victory through us through the blood. He thinks of us and he stays there because of the love for you and for me. So you see now, the thing that brought us freedom 2,000 years ago is the same thing, the blood of Jesus, the cross of Calvary, that will bring freedom to every aspect of your life. As we trusted Him for salvation, the cross, we can trust Him to sanctify us now. To clean us up. To get victory over those things that have weighed you and I down for decades. To finally help us step over that mark. And bring liberty and freedom to every aspect of your life and my life. There's no amount of prayer you can pray that will help you to get victory over things in your life. There's no amount of fasting, which those things are great and we need to do these things because it builds up the spirit man on the inside of us. But it won't give us victory. It'll build us up, make us strong. The cross of Calvary, what Jesus did at the cross, has brought us victory 2,000 years ago and is now bringing us victory today in 2013. So let me tell you this. All things that weigh you down, go to the cross. Say, Father, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And yes, the devil doesn't want to let us go. Yes, the devil doesn't want us set free. Just like in Exodus chapter 5, where it talks about when Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh and said, let God's people go. You know, Moses and Aaron didn't say, let my people go. They said, no, let God's people go. We're in that same scenario where the Spirit of God is saying, let God's people go. And we know the story where, you know, they tried to get free. They tried to be free. And old Slewfoot, or Pharaoh, made it get harder, huh? And let me tell you this. This is what the devil will try to do. He'll try to say it doesn't work. Not, that's a lie. The freedom is in the cross and only the cross. Freedom is looking to Him and saying, Father, I put my faith in You. Just as I put my faith in You when I got saved, I put my faith in You for sanctification today, Lord God. Cleanse my heart. Cleanse my spirit. Cleanse my mind, Lord. Cleanse my body, Lord God. Set me free. That's what God wants. He's paid the price. He gave His Son so we could be set free. So we can live lives free from the bondages that the devil has thrown at us. We can have, we all we got to do, it's simple, guys. It's simple. And the devil knows it. And he will bring about all attacks of the enemy. Because there are a lot of things that hold Christians in bondage that it, only the cross and the blood can break them. Only. The church has struggled, and I'm talking about the body of Christ, has struggled for years and years when the answer was paid for 2,000 years ago. Trusting in Him and what He did. Just as He said, let my people go. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. You might say, Pastor, will it drop off automatically? This is the deal. You take one day at a time. One day at a time. You put your faith in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And you say, well, Pastor, what do I do if I fail again? You go to the cross. You ask forgiveness. You ask God to cleanse you. And you get up. And don't let the devil condemn you. Because that's what he'll do. He'll throw in your mind that you're no good. You're not a Christian. You're a hypocrite. That's not truth. That's not true. God looks at our hearts. He looks on the inside. He sees our failure. But I tell you this, He sees our triumphs. He sees what we can do and what we can accomplish. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God we serve. That will change every situation. Something happens tomorrow and you don't live up to what God, whatever, just go to Him and say, Father, forgive me. Father, forgive me. Lord, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And that releases the power of God upon your life to change things. To bring freedom to every part of our lives, every part of our hearts. To bring freedom to every aspect of our lives. So God can use us at will to touch this generation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Praise and glory and honor unto Him. Hallelujah to the King of Kings. Praise You, Father, putting our faith in Him. Romans chapter 6. Starting with verse 3. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? And I want to read this part, okay? It says, when Christ died on the cross, in the mind of God, we died with Him. Listen. In other words, He became our substitute and our identification with Him in His death gives us all the benefits for which He died. The idea is that He did it all for us. This is the Bible now, verse 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. We died with Him, we were buried with Him, and His resurrection was our resurrection to a newness of life. Remember, get this. There's nothing too hard that God cannot do in your life. Amen. You might say, Pastor, I've struggled with these things for years since I can always remember. I understand. But there's nothing too hard that God cannot solve. There's nothing too hard that God can't bring victory into your heart and life. There's nothing too hard that God cannot solve. There's nobody too strong that God cannot save. There's nothing that God cannot do. He can solve everything. He can solve it. He can solve it. Put up that scripture, Joshua, please. There's nothing too hard. His arm is not too short that He can't change what's happening in your life. But say, Pastor, what if I fail? Ask forgiveness and go on. And just keep your faith in Him. Keep your faith in Him. Keep your faith in Him for salvation, but also for justification, for sanctification, that God can move within your heart and life like never before. It releases the hands of God, my God, to move at will. Joshua 1:9 says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage." Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I know He spoke that to Joshua, but that's also for us today. He's with us. He's with you wherever you go. He's with you in every situation. He's with you for every tribulation. He's with you and I for every problem. See, that's why we need to be in church. We can come together to rub shoulders with other believers and gain strength from one another. And as we worship our God, to see the power of God come into this place and see God move within our hearts and within our lives, to be able to be saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized by the power of God, to see God move like never before. How many times I've been standing there just and the weight of things just fall off. And it's like, oh my God, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The power of His Spirit. There's nothing too hard that God cannot do. You might say, Pastor, I have this problem. There's nothing too hard that God cannot do. Put your faith and trust in Him continually every day. Every day. Say, Lord, I trust in You. I trust in what You did at Calvary's cross. And Lord God, what You paid on the cross, as you hung on that cross and You thought of me, I receive that victory, Lord. Thank You, Father. And everybody walks away knowing it's nothing we've done. It's all what He's done. And all glory goes back to Him. All praise goes back to Him. Praise God. You may stand, please. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, Father. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Oh, thank You, Father. Would You please just bow Your heads just for a minute. Just for a minute. If you don't know Jesus today and you'd like to give your heart to Him, if you don't know Him and you'd like to give your heart to them, maybe you've struggled with things and you're just saying, Lord, help me. Would you please raise your hand as we will pray with you? Just looking to make sure. I want to ask something else. As every head is bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around and nothing. Are you struggling with things this morning? Are you struggling personally with something? If you are, would you please raise your hand? I saw that hand back there. I see your hand. Yes, I see your hand. I see your hand. I see another one. Anyone else? Anyone else? Don't be ashamed, guys. Look, everybody struggles. Everyone. Everyone. Amen. As your head is bowed, let's just raise our hands towards heaven, if you would like. Father, You see what's going on, Lord God. And You see the struggles, Lord God. Father, You see the heartaches, Lord. Father, You see it. And Lord God, we receive that victory that you paid for. Lord God, I pray that you would strengthen your people, that you'd help them to be strong and courageous, Lord. Lord God, that the power of the anointing of God would rest upon their lives, Lord God. And Lord God, every day as they faithfully declare you Lord over their lives, as they trust in the cross, as they trust what you did, that Father, each day you will strengthen them, Lord. Each day you will give them victory, Lord God. Each day the power of God will rest upon them. And Lord God, one day they're going to turn around and say, my God, what has happened? Father, I pray the anointing of the Spirit of God to be upon them, Lord. Strengthen them. The power of the anointing of God, Lord God, would be upon them, Lord. Rest upon them this day, Father. Lord God, Lord, help them to keep their eyes upon you and you alone, Father. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we give you glory this day, Lord God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. How great are you this morning, Lord God. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Andrew, put that song on, How Great Is Our God. As we sing this song, just thank Him for freedom. Thank you. Thank Him for what He's done in your life. Thank Him and honor Him this day for what He's done in your life this day. Praise Him and honor Him. How great is your God? He's the God that split the Red Sea and they walked on dry ground. He's the God that tore down the walls of Jericho. Hallelujah! Praise God! And He's the God of your problem. Hallelujah! And He will handle it and solve it this day. Amen. Let's sing that song. Andrew, put it louder, please.